will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Now, the shortest verse of these six is now at the bottom. The only admonition is right here in verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So the apostle is saying, all that I said here are words of encouragement that you can say to each other. Now, I just want to say a couple things about this, because kind of a little testimony of my own. When I was in high school and I became a Christian and all this, I actually didn't have a very positive notion about the concept of hope, H-O-P-E, hope. In my pea brain back then, you know, I just thought, well, I know what hope is. You know, people talk about it all the time. Are you going to graduate from school? Well, I hope so, you know. You're going to make the B squad? Well, I hope so. To me, on the continuum of certainty, it was way over here. Hope is like, well, you know, who knows? Might be kind of... It wasn't until later that I discovered from reading the Word of God that hope used in this sense is absolutely rock solid. It will happen, and it will happen this way. And I changed my attitude toward hope, and it became one of my favorite pursuits. Without question, what he's saying here is that it's dedicated to this, because he says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Now, I know that you probably pick up from even these six verses that he's using sleep in two senses, because all of us know what sleep is, right? We don't want to sleep. But there's a second sense that goes back even before Christ, that even in the Old Testament, they use that as a term, kind of a euphemism, you might say, about death, right? He's using it that way here. It doesn't leave us in the dark, because he uses it. For the Lord himself would descend, and those who are alive left will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So he's using it in two senses. And don't be confused, because this was actually from the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you care to, you can turn to John 11. I'll just read this. Jesus was there with his disciples finally, and they got news that Jesus and their disciples, really good friends, Jesus' best friends were like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And the two ladies sent word to him a couple days away by some kind of messenger, since they didn't have cell phones in those days. Anyway, Lord, him whom you love is ill. And he said, when he heard it, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And I don't know what the apostles were going around with them, the disciples, made of this, because it sounds like they're confused, you know. They get down and they say, I will skip down to verse 11. After saying these things to him, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I go there, I go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Story goes on. Martha meets him first, and then Mary, and he says to her, you know, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So these women are grieving, of course, and he knows it. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yeah. Oh, good. You're not Martha, but I'm glad you said so. You know, Jesus was using this terminology of sleep. And he said, I'm going over there to where he is to awaken him. This is not the first time in Jesus' life when this happened. And apparently, the Lord Jesus has the power to bring somebody back from the dead, right? Is that right? Well, this little verses that we have here, they're kind of good. He says, I don't want you people to be ignorant. Apparently somebody came back to him, probably Timothy, when he got back, said they're kind of concerned about those Christians there that died. They may have died of persecution. We do not know. We were not told that detail. But they were concerned about, while they died, maybe they might not be around when Jesus comes again. This story is sort of framed around the fact that, is Jesus coming again? Yes. Good. Move to the top front of the class here. He is coming again. So what is his concern? It's more narrow. He says, we don't want you to be grieved, because they were concerned about, what about the faithful believers who died? Are they going to have to be, what goes on with them? And he says this very plainly, that when Jesus arrives, when he comes, the dead in Christ, people who die belonging to Christ, who have eternal life, they will be first to rise from the dead. They go first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. Right there, together, the word is there, kind of double. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Is there any possibility that somebody here is separated from the Lord who's a believer at any time? Huh? Just listening. You got to help me here a little bit. Because this is a big deal. And he says, kind of a attention giver. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Do we believe that? You know, I read it in a kind of a quote in one of the commentaries I looked at, and I liked it. It said, well, Jesus died and rose again is the irreducible basis of the gospel. Right there. Jesus died and rose again. And then it adds this. died and rose again. So through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left at the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep already. Now we do not really know why they were concerned about this, but Paul exhibits something really important here. He's an apostle. I'm sure he is filled with the Holy Spirit to care for this church, this flock up in Thessalonica. And he realizes, okay, I told them and I was eager to get back there, and I tried to get back, but Satan stopped us, he said, because I wanted to fill up what might be lacking in your faith. Because he gave it all that he had up there, got kind of shortchanged by being driven out of town. And so he is dying to get there, so tell them a bit more. But maybe he couldn't wait, and he actually wrote a letter. A letter. You know, takes time. It takes time to write a letter. When's the last time you wrote a letter? Hands up. We've lost that skill. But he wrote this letter. This letter is here. You say, what? You're making a big deal of this. No, and what I'm saying is, he realized that they were a little mixed up, and he could not wait till he got there. So he wrote this letter, rolled it up, and gave it to probably Timothy or somebody like that, young and strong, really tough. Get that up to those guys. And they got it, and they read it. Why is this important? Fundamentally, we have what has come down to us. Now listen carefully, is fundamentally Paul was acting in a pastoral manner to this flock. He wanted them to hear this. Not just that, Paul told us this. No, more than that. Look at that last verse. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we encourage one another with these words? Is Jesus coming again? Is there any way that I will be sort of dumped off, fall off the bus before this happens? What if I die? What does it guarantee? What do these words say? Is this uncertain or certain? This is a rock solid hope that we have eternal life based on the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow, Paul knew, as a man with a pastor's heart, they need to hear this so they can encourage each other with these words. How many times, as brothers and sisters in Christ, do we need to hear that, hey, some people think, in the world they think, when you're dead, you're dead. When people die, they're going to make a great discovery that guess what? There's more. Do you believe there's more? And maybe what's yet to come is even better than what we have here. You suppose? Can we encourage one another with these words? Can we say, Jesus is coming again, and I can hardly wait. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where nothing can touch. We need to encourage one another with these words that Jesus, in fact, is coming again, and he's coming, by the way, a certain way. It says here, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command. I am told that this Greek word is kind of a military word. Is that right, brother? Yeah. In other words, when you have an army and the general says, up, out, the whole army is supposed to move just like that. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is what is going to happen when the captain of our salvation comes down from heaven. He's going to have a cry of command. He's not going to be a suggestion. He's going to say, arise, and all of the dead in Christ will rise first. Whoa, listen to what it says. It says, cry of command, come with the voice of an archangel. Whoa. Third, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. Militarily, in those days, that trumpet said, everybody, be on your mettle. We're going into battle. This is a cry of command. Because why? Jesus Christ was the victor over death. We learn from the scriptures that when he died, the death of death in the death of Christ, he won. And he's coming back for all of us. And when he says, arise, is there any chance that somebody won't? It's a command. It's a cry of command. It comes with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, which might be actually pretty loud. At that point, it's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're born again, if you realize he died in your place, he shed his blood, and you are his, this is the future. This is what's going to happen. Now, I want to tell you a couple little stories from our work in Papua New Guinea, if I may. The first one was, there was a very godly man, one of the earliest Christians in our village, who was really sincere. His name was Ferreri. And while we were away, he died. This Christian, this really good Christian. Do even really good Christians die in the village when they're, you know, kind of young, shouldn't die? He died. You know, every work of God is always opposed by the enemy of our souls. You know that? And while we were away, the other people who were not accepting the gospel said, they say that when somebody dies, he goes to heaven. You know what they did? They dug him up, said, he's still there. And you know, I don't think we were there at the time, and we get back to the story, and I talked to Pastor Yonapi about this, and he said, well, they had some knowledge of the truth, but they didn't have the whole truth, that the body can decompose. But the real person inside that body has eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whoever believes in him shall have what kind of life? How long does eternal last? And these believers, very new, they had never been to school, they said, well, you know what happened? I said, no, what happened? We told them that the python, which they like to eat, the python, when it's molting, or any snake is molting, it sheds its skin. It goes to a place and it hides. And then the skin comes off. He said, we told him, those things you found in a grave were just molting. Freddy, the real Freddy, where is he? Well, he's in with Christ Jesus in heaven. People say, well, wait a minute. It says here that they're going to wait and they'll be here. I cannot solve this problem. And what I'm saying, I don't think I even have proof from the Bible. But it seems like time for God isn't the problem as it is for us. It could be like my dear wife, which kind of the computer brains in our family. We can see a movie, you know, something, and you can get up there on the screen and go, you can go forward, right? Is that correct? I'm not a computer. You know what? Perhaps for the Lord, all the moments between those years and when we die are all going to be conflated into one point in time. Many scholars believe this, but I can't prove this. But he said to the thief dying on the cross, he said, Lord, remember, one thief says to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? Help me. First word. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Did Jesus get it wrong? Or maybe, you know, he'll be all pretty beat up already and, you know, kind of bad. No. You know, I don't know how this is going to work, but I know that he does. Because he says in the book of Revelation, I hold the keys of death and Hades. It could be he has keys about what's the departed faithful who have died there in Thessalonica. He said, hey, there's just what's going to happen. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. How much time in that sentence is it for, you know, some slippage in there somewhere? For people who are his? We will always be what? With the Lord. Amen? One little more story. Is that all right? We go more and more. And one time, Carol and I were at Ucarumpus for some big workshop that we were doing. And one of our good friends, neighbor, that you could hit their house with a ping pong ball from our house. And while we were gone, Adi Soadi died. And we got, first, you get off the helicopter, they remind you, your friend, and they won't say his name. Hadiso's father, okay. He died. Okay. So I'm going to go down to Hadiso Hama, his wife, to kind of give my condolences. And she's sitting there on the ground in the dirt part of the front of her house. There's a fire here, and behind her is a great big pig tethered to the house post. And she sees me coming. She says, just sit down here. Sit here. Yeah, okay, I'll sit there. Look at me. I said, okay. I'm not covered with mud like we do in our culture. And this pig, and she takes her elbow. The pig grunts, you know. And she said, that's his pig. In our culture, when the husband dies, you kill the pig and give it to everybody. He says, well, she says, now, let me tell you what happened. What happened? What happened? Well, he died. Yeah, I heard that. Well, that's not all. Want to hear the rest of it? Yes. He was there. We're in a full-on volume 9 mourning over Hadi Soadi. We're now recovering with tears. When all of a sudden, he sits up like that. And everybody goes, whoa. And he said, I've been to the Lord's place. And some quick thinking photo said, what was it like? He said, it was like it was full of light. And then there was something like a rainbow, green rainbow. But it was feet by the kind of that way, not this way. And it really sounds like a really good place. Bonk. And he dies. And they're kind of waiting. God gives people little glimpses here and there that this life is not all there is. Amen. And I'm grateful to him that we have a good hope, and this hope is rock solid. It is based on the work of Christ. Jesus died and rose again is the basis, the rock solid, irreducible basis of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to heed this admonition. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And all God's people said, amen. A little bit louder.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are so in need of your encouragement. We know that you love us perfectly, that you effected a salvation, and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We pray that we, as your church here, your people, your kids, will actually encourage each other with these words. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.